Hi, my name is Nicole, and I'm a fake fan.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, my name is Calvin, and I am a fake fan.
Hi, Calvin.
Hi, my name is Tristan, and I'm a fake fan.
Hi, Tristan. Well,
wow.
Today we are continuing our, what we're calling it, Mom Made Me Cry May. Mom Made Me Cry May with the 1983 Oscar Award winning Terms of Endearment.
Nominated for 11/15.
Wow. The more facts you tell me about this movie, the more I'm surprised. But let's start with a little explanation of the movie. Tristan, since your mom told us to watch it, how about you tell us the synopsis of the movie?
I will try my very best. Yeah, whenever I bring up sad movies, my mom's always like, oh, Terms of Endearment. That one always makes me cry. And this is just a lot. A lot happened. This movie takes place over the span of, I want to say, like a decade. Well, longer, because you see Emma when she's a kid. But it's basically just about, it's really two different stories about a mom and a daughter going through life. And then the daughter gets cancer in the last 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of stuff. It's hard to explain, but it's about a mom and a daughter.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds like a good premise. Mm-hmm. What I just saw, I did not think really, like, it didn't really stick to that premise in the sense that, like, it's not entirely about that. It's like a sexual exploration and stuff like that, where, like, it just kept going on these weird different
Shirley.
Plots.
Shirley MacLaine's plot was very sexual. I just read an IMDb fact that her and Jack Nicholson would show up to set just like not wearing a lot of clothes, and a lot of their scenes were improvised.
Cute.
Wow. Well, even Emma has a little bit about it, you know, when she cheats on her husband, you know, and
with John Lithgow.
Y'all, that is such a left turn.
So let's go around and see who is this week's fake fan. Nicole, are you a fake fan of Terms of Endearment?
Yes, I am a fake fan of Terms of Endearment.
I am a fake fan of Terms of Endearment, I guess. I hadn't seen it. Not sure if I'm a fake fan or not, but yes. Tristan, are you a fake fan of Terms of Endearment?
This time I will say I am a fake fan of Terms of Endearment. I am a fake fan of Shirley MacLaine. I'm a fake fan of Best Picture Oscar winners. And I'm a fake fan of movies that my mom tells me to watch and I just never do. And then I buy it on DVD and it sits on my shelf for a couple of years. And then I finally watch it because my friends made a podcast because we talk about movies. So yeah, I'm a fake fan of this movie.
Yeah.
Well, let's get a general consensus of the room. Nicole, what do you think about this movie?
Listen. Okay. It wasn't a bad movie. This would definitely be a movie that I would watch with my mother. I feel like a lot of it is targeted towards women and moms and daughters. Last week we watched Steel Magnolias, but I feel like anyone could watch that. And I don't know, I can't explain why. It just, I almost feels like maybe it was, this one was a little bit more cheesy, but I like feel like kind of weird using that word too.
I would definitely use the word cheesy, but okay. I'll let Calvin talk about his experience.
I didn't like the movie. There's just like a lot of stylistically cheesy, but it's also like every scene was a jump forward in time by like at least a few days or something like that, which you can sometimes make work. But like if every cut that you go from a different scene to another scene is like another jump forward in time where you have to like recalibrate. Okay, now what? It's grating and it breaks down the pacing of the movie in so many ways where like I just really couldn't get involved with these characters.
Also, this movie is a span of 15 years, I do believe.
Yeah, it's a lot. The most jarring one is when it's Shirley MacLaine's birthday. And then she goes and asks Jack Nicholson to lunch. And she's like, remember, you asked me that in the last scene, but that was 3 years ago. And
yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. That was a while ago. Thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah. So it was just like the pacing was all off. It just like, because it does that, I feel like I can't get really invested in the characters as much because it's just like, I don't get to see, like with Steel Magnolias, because like the first half of the movie is all at that wedding. Like, you really get a sense of these characters together, and it's like you're spending a real time with them. But in this movie, you spend like a few minutes of a day and then you jump forward in time and it's just, you're just hopping between them. Where I just remember like towards the end, I'm like, I don't even know if I know that much about Emma at this point. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like I know more about Shirley MacLaine's character, but even then, like all of it together, not as connected to them as Steel Magnolias, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, the music choices, the music would always come in at the weirdest times. Mm-hmm. The music was a little loud all the time.
Yeah.
And then the humor would just catch you off guard, like Jack Nicholson saying something like really off color or just something happening, like this lady coming up to Emma, like, I heard you have cancer. And then the other lady spits out her food and it lands. Then we cut, lands to Emma's chest. Like, just a lot of stuff going on that would just catch you off guard.
Yeah, but you should. That's what people from New York are like, Calvin. You should know this. You've gone up to a person like, I heard you have cancer, you know?
Oh, my God.
That's enough for me. Tristan, what did you think about this movie? I mean, it's your mother telling us to watch the movie. I can agree with Nicole. Yeah, I could see people enjoying this movie. I just didn't. What do you think, Tristan?
I didn't hate this movie, but this isn't like the best sad movie I've ever seen. I can see why my mom likes it. I mean, I can see why any mom would like this. This is a very like mom story. This is a very like put it on Mother's Day and cry with your daughter kind of movie. Even as a son, the part when she was saying bye to her kids, like, I love my mom. I'm going to die before my mom. I'm going to make sure that happens because I don't want to see my mom die. But watching that, just it hurts. And the little kid was so good. The little kid's like crying face
the
was
youngest
so
son.
The youngest one. That's like
he broke my heart.
I really wanted the older one to have a mom. Like when they were walking away mm-hmm. from the hospital, I was so waiting for the kid to like run back to his mom because it was the last time he was gonna see her. But I didn't hate this movie. I was comparing it to Steel Magnolias the whole time there's so besides just Shirley MacLaine being in both movies, there's so many similarities between the story. I wish Emma. And Shirley MacLaine's character, the mom and daughter. I wish the whole movie was just them together. The strength mm-hmm. of Steel Magnolias was that the ladies were together the whole time, and it really built the relationships. And then when one of the characters dies, you not only feel missing that character, but you feel the effects of the supporting characters also missing the character. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't hate this movie. It is a very, I will go ahead and say cheesy. It is a 1983 tearjerker type movie. But I didn't hate it.
Now, part of this is, yeah, that relationship between mother and daughter that, I mean, I guess I can't speak on. Even like father to son, that's still a very stoic relationship, at least. So, I don't know, Nicole, maybe you could tell us why the mother and daughter aspect works a little bit better than I, because I just couldn't understand that personally.
Well, every like topic in this movie is like just the super surface. Like, Shirley MacLaine's relationship with Jack Nicholson. That was, like, super surface level, and it's almost like they were like, oh, well, this is happening, and you've probably seen it before, so you get it, right? Like, that's what it felt like every topic was like, oh, her daughter's dying, you get it, right? Like, they don't delve deeper into the character's emotions, mm-hmm. or, like, the son's saying goodbye. That was super fast, and there was nothing there, really, and I feel like the dialogue they gave Emma was super weird. I don't know. I guess I wasn't really thinking about the mother-daughter relationship. I was just really weirded out how, like, they would give you the storyline, and maybe it was because they were skipping around so much through the years that you never got to deep dive into the emotions.
I was more thinking about when they were both sharing, or she was sharing her experience with her daughter about her sexual experience with the astronaut guy.
Oh.
And like I could not understand talking that, frankly, even over the phone or anything with my parent. Like, but you said like you could at least understand something where like the mother and daughter are kind of like best friends at that age kind of thing. I don't know. That's what I don't
well, cause like
understand.
When you like grow up and then like when like the daughter is a woman, then you both are kind of like on the same page as like you both become what like our wives now. You both are mothers. Like it's like a different relationship. I'm sure guys have like the same kind of thing. Like you both become men, you become fathers and husbands and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But when you become friends as girls, you know, and like it's your mom, like you start talking about stuff that like girlfriends talk to each other about, which is like relationship stuff, life stuff.
I can see that, like between my sister and my mom, how they're both much more open with each other about things. Like my sister will say something to my mom in front of me and I'd be like, why are you guys talking about that? That's weird. So I think a mother-daughter relationship is very strong and open, that I could see people, a mother and daughter, talking about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, any other thoughts about the movie? Because, yeah, I'm... I just feel kind of whiplashed throughout the whole movie. Like especially with the date scene between Shirley MacLaine and Jack Nicholson. Like,
mm-hmm.
That was just whiplash after whiplash. And then, like, they even do it. Like, yeah. It was, like, one thing after another where I'm just getting whiplash.
You know what I would have loved to have seen this movie be like? I know I sound weird, but, like, I would like to see it more from the point of view of Shirley MacLaine's character. Her husband dies. Dive into that. You're raising this kid by yourself. This hot astronaut moves in. You're, like, leaning on Jack Nicholson because your daughter's with this, like, crazy-ass guy. Flap. I hate that.
Flap. Oh, fuck Flap. Can we... Fuck Flap Anonymous.
This is an anti-Flap podcast.
Funny enough, Jeff Daniels plays a very similar character in Squid and the Whale, where he's like this English professor who then has a divorce, and they have two children, two sons, and you'll end up hating Jeff Bridges just the same for his character.
Yes.
But it's a better acted, better written character. Just same reason you'd hate him.
Yeah, I didn't like Flap in this movie.
But yeah, if it was just like a story like about Shirley MacLaine's character, because Emma kind of gave us nothing. Like, she gave us a tragedy at the end, and then it was just kind of like a lot. Yeah. But like Shirley MacLaine, I feel like her character could have had a little more depth, and it could have been from the point, like her point of view.
I was definitely more invested in Shirley MacLaine and Jack Nicholson than any other character. John Lithgow was weird in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was very weird in this movie.
And he didn't even, stick around in the sense, like, his story kind of ends halfway through and, like, oh, we're never going to see him again in this movie. Okay, bye.
Yeah. He had the best, like, gag in the movie when he just pulls up and he's got, like, a murder face on.
Oh, God.
That was hilarious. But, yeah, John Lithgow was weird in this.
It's funny because in the movie Blowout, John Lithgow actually plays a murderer assassin guy. And he has a very similar facial expression throughout the whole movie as that. It was very jarring. And
I think that's just his face.
Same era, too. Like, he's young-faced and everything, and for him to pull up that way, like, with a smile on his face, oh, we pull up at the same time.
I can only think of him as Barney's dad in How I Met Your Mother, where, like, you're like, how is he Barney's dad? Because he's the exact opposite. So that's the only way I see John Lithgow now.
I see him as a progressive suit man. He sells soup. Oh, Amy saw him on stage. I always forget about that.
Oh, yeah. You saw him in New York, and then you went up, and you're like, I heard you have cancer. He's like, that's not me.
Oh, my God.
New York. You're a New Yorker. You know you're a New Yorker, Calvin. Isn't that what New Yorkers are like? That's what the movie said.
I've seen him on stage twice, actually. I saw him in King Lear, in the Shakespeare in the Square, and then I saw him with you, Nicole, at the American Airlines Theater.
Story. He's like a great-grandpa.
Yeah. Great grandpa vibes.
Yeah, great for real.
John Lithgow.
That was cool.
Well, I think that's a note that we've ended our conversation on this movie. Gotta say, not impressed really. I mean, just watch Steel Magnolias. Like, you don't need to watch this movie. Just like, if you want a good story about a mother and daughter dealing with their conflicts together, but also because they love each other, then yeah, Steel Magnolias. I would say you don't really need to watch this movie.
Ooh. Did you guys cry?
No, I like almost felt like the choke up feeling like when she's saying bye to her kids, because honestly that was probably the most emotional part of the movie.
Yeah,
it was either the kid crying and like just about to close the door, or I guess Shirley MacLaine crying about her daughter dying. But it was shot so weird. It was like in this two shot with her and Jeff Daniels, where Jeff Daniels can't even like comfort her, and you don't even see Emma's body.
Yeah.
It's just like her crying. Is it Shirley MacLaine crying? Can't even cry into Jeff's chest because he's not comforting. He's just standing there stoic-like. And it was just weird. It was just like this long shot.
Like, I didn't even realize what was happening until, like, Shirley MacLaine had to say, like, oh, I didn't think it would feel like this. Like, I was genuinely so confused because, like, you know, Emma just, like, looks at her and smiles, and then Shirley MacLaine smiles and looks away, and I'm just like, oh, that's, like, sad. Like, they're just, like, saying bye. But then I, like, didn't even realize that's what was happening.
That's another thing. The movie's not very subtle. The movie's very, like, if the character is feeling something, they will say it out loud instead of show something of how they're feeling it. Like, I could see Shirley MacLaine looking away, and then she'll be like, oh, my gosh, I just looked away, and I didn't see my daughter pass before me. And then I could see her feeling guilty about that. And then she just outright says, like, I didn't think it would be like that. And I'm like, you don't have to screenwriter. You don't have to say it. You could just, I do got to give it to Shirley MacLaine though. I mean, she's great. She's just great.
She did what she could.
She's not as good as she was in Steel Magnolias or The Apartment, but it's Shirley MacLaine. I'd even give it to Jack Nicholson. Like, this is a weird role for him, but.
But he fit it.
He can act. Yeah.
I don't know. There's this one movie. And I cannot, I think it stars Diane Keaton. And it also has Jack Nicholson in it.
As Good As It Gets? Is that the one?
I don't know. It's the one where he, like, plays, like, her, like, Diane Keaton's daughter's boyfriend. But he's old. And that's why it's weird in the movie. Because, like, her daughter is, like, with this guy. And he's super old. And, like, they go on a family vacation.
I think it's As Good As It Gets. Is it? I think that's the one. Yeah.
Because he reminds me of that character.
Okay.
He plays like that, like, you know, like, super charming, kind of creepy, like, you know, attractive old guy or whatever.
I think he won an Oscar for that one, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
That was, like, a good niche for him then, probably, as he got older.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the movie. I saw that way long ago. I could not say if it is or not. But, yeah, I got the same feeling of, like, I'm an asshole, and I'm afraid of commitment. Well, that's the verdict. Probably not the best use of your time, but that's all from us.
But if you want a good cry with your mom, just throw it on.
last announcements for this meeting. We have a Patreon, guys, and we're gonna be starting some merch. Probably like 1 month pins, 2 month pins, 5 month jackets. I don't know. So if you're out there in our audience, and you too are struggling to watch movies that you've said that you watched. Join us on Patreon. We'll put exclusive there or something. I don't know. We won't know. You won't know until you join.
It's a secret to everyone. That's a little Legend of Zelda reference for you guys. Let's wrap this up.
Tristan, you want to give us our send off?
Thanks for joining us for this meeting of Fake Fans Anonymous. As you will see, we don't have any food set up in the back. We're gonna go across the street to that 1980s McDonald's, Burger King. Shit. cut it. We're done.